Welcome back to another episode of Nerd Tween and a Movie Podcast. I am your host, Nerdpool Prime. Thank you again for joining me. If you like the content, please do me a favor and subscribe to the YouTube channel. Just search Nerd Tween and a Movie Podcast, or on Spotify, iHeartRadio, same thing. Just search Nerd Tween and a Movie Podcast, and I'm the only one that's going to show up. Once you hit N-E-R-D and then the letter T, I'm the only thing that shows up. But to why you're really here. So this week's episode is going to be a lot like last week's episode, where I'm just going to spend the entire time breaking down the Falcon and the Winter Soldier, episode 6, One World, One People, the season finale of season 1 of this fantastic show. It's been a great thrill ride. It's had a lot of things that we all don't really realize, or some of us don't really realize, that these are seeding the future of the MCU in this movie, with things like Madripoor, which is definitely a foothold for the start of the mutants showing up, and Zemo ending up at the Raft, which is controlled by Thaddeus Ross, which is the rumors are that there is a Thunderbolts movie in early pre-production, and Thaddeus Ross creates the Thunderbolts, and Zemo leads many of the more iconic teams. And then the business with Sharon, which I will get to a little bit later, because I haven't gotten to any spoilers just yet. So I'm going to give a little break before I jump into those. But I digress. This series is really cementing where this portion of the MCU is going. They've talked about for a while that there's going to be like two halves of the MCU coming up pretty soon. There's going to be like the cosmic side and the earthbound side, which will probably cross and come together in the next big like Infinity War Endgame style event, which I think is probably going to be Secret Wars. Down the line, I think that is going to be the title that brings back the Russo brothers. But more on that, actually, a little bit later. So with this show being so good, and it has been submitted as a drama series for Emmy consideration, so that means there could be more. But with something, with the rumors and the quote-unquote news that I will get to later, not sure how likely it actually is to happen, but it's still a possibility. So I just want to say, before I get into the breakdown, how much I truly love this show, and it's just another representation of how amazing the MCU is right now, especially if you look at from a cinematic, an acting, a writing, a storytelling, hell, even the themes and the topics that are being tackled right now. If you look at WandaVision with the stages of grief and depression and loss and things like that. And then you have Falcon and the Winter Soldier, who was tackling racism and bias against minorities and corrupt governments and things like that. And now we're moving forward, and we'll see what happens with that, because who knows the direction that Loki's going to go in. Maybe that one's going to be like an introspective, you know, like, because the Loki character that we're probably going to see in the show is going to be a very, because he's going to have to be quote unquote good. Meanwhile, this is the same Loki that we know from Avengers 1, where he just tried to take over the world. Just because he felt like it. Because he felt like he got slighted from the throne of Asgard. So to see that Loki become something more like an anti-hero, it's going to be really great to see. But we'll see. And like that need to prove himself. Because, I mean, he never got the approval of his father or his adopted father that he found out later. And he just never felt accepted. So that show very well could be another tackling of a major issue. But that being said, let's get to the breakdown of this season finale of this fantastic show. So if you have not seen the episode of Falcon and the Winter Soldier, episode 6, the season finale, do me a favor and go ahead and back out now. So, because I don't want to ruin anything for you. On all my pages and everything, I do a 48-hour spoiler ban from the moment it releases. So from 3 a.m., Friday morning or Thursday night, depending on your lifestyle choices. So that being said, I am going to get into some spoiler territory at this point. So if you have not heard, have not watched the show, please go ahead and back out now. Are you still here? Then that means we can keep going. Alrighty. So the episode opens up with the Flag Smashers and Carly giving like a little pep talk, like a go team pep talk before the title card shows. And you know, they've used the title card really well as a great transition all throughout the show. This episode was no different. This episode basically picks back up directly after the last episode where the GRC Council is being held captive. We hear a news broadcast updating us on the situation, and it happens to mention a no-fly zone that is in effect. This is clearly meant to show that Sam had the clearance to disregard that, given the fact that he'd been working with the government before, and he and Bucky teamed up. That would make sense. He would be the ideal person to try to, you know, enter a tall building with hostages, especially with the building being made of mostly glass windows. Granted, I don't think they knew he was flying up as what he was. It was just they thought he was going to be Falcon. But more on that in a little bit. Sam comes into view, and the first thing that you notice is his new thrusters. When he was in the earlier season, earlier part in the season, as well as earlier in the MCU, he had like a red jet propulsion, like you would see in most jets and stuff like that. And now he has the blue hue of the vibrant blue of the Wakandan aerial vehicles, as seen in Black Panther and some also in Infinity War. You got Sam and Bucky are connected via earpiece. As Bucky and Sam are going over the plan, Bucky passes some uniform officers. The broadcast said it was NYPD, but this scene right here is definitely the GRC soldiers. They let him pass and address him as Sergeant Barnes. It's really good. It's fantastic to see him getting the respect he deserves. That is going to be a recurring theme in this episode for a few characters, but Bucky most of all. Sam tells him he called in some backup, and a stranger walks up behind him and asks, "Are you supposed to be here?" And it's revealed to be Sharon. Sam asks, "Is that Sharon I hear?" And Bucky responds with, "Unfortunately." And I love this version of Bucky. He's a quick-witted badass who just never misses a chance to throw a jab, both verbal and otherwise. Sharon, now with her own earpiece, joins the group chat. Sam thanks her, and he says, "You're risking a lot coming here." She makes a joke that pardons are not all that they're cracked up to be. Bucky says it depends on the therapist. Now, if Bucky had been honest with his therapist and opened up like he did with Sam, then I would argue that he got a damn good therapist. And even though Bucky may not have always seen it that way, but she was really good for him. But more on that later. When Carly sees Sam fly overhead, she starts the real plan. The Flag Smashers, who infiltrated the GRC Council, unleash this gas that just drives everyone into a panic and running for the doors. When they try to escape, they're cut off by a Flag Smasher. And then cut to Sam throwing the shield from outside the building. It bounces off the Flag Smasher and starts flinging back towards the window. Sam breaks the window, breaks the glass, catches it, does a perfect barrel roll with his wings seamlessly folding in. And ladies and gentlemen, I give you the all-new Captain America. First off, nice little detail I noticed. The frames of the windows, which were basically the walls, can be seen. They're broken, like, right behind Sam. And that, so that shows that his wings made that that hole there. And that's, the subtle little minor details of this show that is just absolutely top-notch. Thought we wouldn't notice, but we did. But I digress. Let's talk about that suit. Honestly, I was speaking with some people about this before the episode aired, like to see like maybe they were gonna give us like a like just new wings type thing, and you know, wasn't gonna be the true reveal that he's Captain America just yet, you know, or like. And I immediately just said absolutely not. Like there's no way that's gonna happen, because with that reveal, the way he built it up with that scene at the end of the last episode where he opens the case and he like sighs, like almost like he just finally understood the weight of what he was about to do. And like I definitely feel like if they didn't give us that full Sam in Captain America, like really Captain America, I feel like I would have probably bashed this last episode if they didn't do that for us. But I'm glad to see that they did. And I feel like if they would have just given us the new vibranium wings and jetpack, woohoo! It would have been like, and it, not with the Captain America suit, it would have been as bad as Evan Peters being wasted as a boner joke. And granted, I really do think that he's going to show up later and that's going to be fixed. Not necessarily fixed like how we want it to be, but it's going to be more more than just a boner joke, in my opinion. I just got this weird feeling. I heard rumors that he's going to be appearing in the Multiverse of Madness. And if he's just some random person who lives in that block, why would he appear? I don't know. But I digress. Like I said, thankfully this was not the case, and this is without a doubt one of, if not the most comic book accurate suit that we have had in the MCU to date. And now this is partially because, luckily for Sam in this case, excuse me, Sam in this case, his first appearance was back in 2014, so the suit was a very modern suit. Unlike, say, you know, like Scarlet Witch or Vision or even Steve Rogers himself, like when we saw the comic book accurate costumes for them, it was more like exactly that, costumes. Like when Steve was wearing that the traditional Captain America, you know, with the wings on his head and the red big boots, it was because he was doing those shows, the USO shows. The Bond shows, and then when we get Scarlet Witch and Vision in their traditional comic book costumes, it's literally costumes for Halloween. But this right here is the real deal. This is his true uniform. And honestly, besides having like these gauntlets on his wrist, that I think was where his like display is, that touchscreen that he had in the previous films, slight adjustments of the like the chest and body pattern, and the fact that his wings aren't like pretty much vibrant red, because in the comics they're vibrant red for the most part. That's literally the only thing that stopped this from being literally ripped directly off of the comics. And let me tell you that it's just so good to see that. And I am just so in love with it. It truly is just so beautiful. But I digress. Cap starts talking with the crew and walks up on one of the GRC members, who asks, "I'm sorry, who are you?" And he responds, "I'm Captain America." And we get a call back to the Joaquin Torres line in episode 1. "I thought Captain America was on the moon." And you know it's gonna be funny. What? Watch him actually be on the moon, and he just shows up one day, and they're like, "Where have you been, Cap?" "Oh no, where have you been, Steve?" And he's gonna be like, "On the moon. You guys weren't joking about that." I bet you it'd be funny, because even like Sam would be like, "Really? I didn't know that. I was just joking." And now back to the episode. Cap realizes that Carly is not coming, and the goal is to get them out of the building. So Cap tries to tell the GRC members, "This is where trying to tell the GRC members that they shouldn't run outside. They need to stop. It's all a decoy. And he's interrupted by a flying foot belonging to none other than Georges St. Pierre, a.k.a. Batroc. He tells him he cost him a lot of money, and I wonder how much I could get for your new bird costume. And Sam quick-witted a baguette and french fries. Apparently, Bucky is the only Joker on this team. But Batroc says in French, "The robes don't make the monk." And this is a fancy way of saying, like, the clothes don't make the man, or don't judge a book by its cover. Basically saying that, yeah, you might look like Captain America, but let's see if you can fight like Captain America. Cap's fighting style here is very different than the previous versions of Captain America, he only uses force when necessary. He's very defensive. He's trying to, instead of win the fight, he's trying to end the fight. And more about that later in the episode. As he fights Batroc, he tells Bucky and Sharon they're going to have to do something because he's busy. Bucky and Sharon walk through the metal detectors, and of course, Sharon goes off because obviously that badass woman is packing. Now, what does that say about Bucky? Think about it. This man is probably one of the most lethal beings on the planet, and he doesn't bring any weapons besides himself to fight against a whole bunch of super soldiers and basically save. I don't know if the world is at stake in this event here, but a lot of very powerful people that would send the world into a panic and create a lot of mayhem. But I don't necessarily think it could end the world. But, I mean, he just walks into these battles like, yo, it's just me. It's all I need. Like, he didn't bring a knife, like, or baton, like, nothing. His vibranium arm, and he's good to go. It's like his MasterCard, never leave home without it. Or is that American Express? I don't know. I'm not being paid by either one. That was just a joke I thought of on the spot. But I digress. Bucky and Sharon split up, and Bucky says he's going to stop he's going to go to the evac, while Sharon goes and follows the big flag smasher, but more on that later. And again, we have this amazing cinematography showing the spiral staircase glowing red, like a descent into hell. And if the good guys don't prevail, that literally would be them walking down this red stairway to their deaths, like straight up. And now, I want to take a step back and think about this. You need to realize just how prepared Carly and the Flag Smashers were. They had people already in place for the only two evacuations that there were. Like, there was two different teams, one that were getting dispersed through the basement with the trucks, and then one on the chopper. She had people in place there prior to them even taking control of the council in the first place. So either she's got some really sick intel, or she just figured everything out on the spot. And that's just a little strange to me. But more on that later. Pardon me while I take a swig of my beverage. Okay. So Carly calls an associate that was in the right place to hand Bucky a phone. Carly asks him if he's tired of fighting for the wrong side. And she calls him Mr. Barnes, even when she's basically dissing him, still showing Bucky the respect he deserves. The entire conversation, Carly was throwing jab after jab, asking me if he ever fought for something bigger than himself. No, Carly. World War II and the Battle of Wakanda and subsequently Endgame, you know, those aren't big things that are bigger than himself, but those would be three perfect examples. Bucky fires back and says all he tries to do, and he's failed twice. Now, that is a reference to his quote-unquote death in Captain America during World War II and his dusting at the hand of Thanos and then at the end of Infinity War, and then also his subsequent contributions to the victory in the battle during Endgame. So right now he's batting 333, which would put him in as one of the best hitters in baseball. But when the fate of the world is on the line, that's not good enough. So if he, does this here, Maybe he evens it out. He goes a batting 500. That's legendary status right there. All right, moving on. So all right, so now we're moving on. Sorry. We next see Lennox, that big Flag Smasher. He's, you know, following the evacuation to the trucks. These two NYPD like SWAT vans. And then what he does is he puts these locks, which is what Batroc gave them last episode in that big case. You know, Sharon's just sitting there watching this, and then we cut back to Cap and Batroc fighting again. And I'm glad to see he was literally leaping all around in this fight, and so he's kind of earning that title of Batroc the Leaper from the comics. And I know I keep bouncing back between Batroc and Batroc. I don't know which one it is. I just bounce back and forth. We see the trucks leaving, and Bucky is still talking to Carly, telling her that the nightmares won't go away because he knows. He's been down this road. She's doing exactly what he's tried to do before, and it's just not. It doesn't end well ever for that person. Those dead bodies will always haunt them for the rest of their lives. And, you know, credit to Erin Kellerman. When he said that, the expression on Carly's face was just like, oh my, it was literally like just fully broken, like almost like all hope is lost. Like, Kellerman really like crushed this role, and bravo to her. And I hope she gets a supporting actress nod, because she really did a wonderful job here. Now, the only thing I can think of is maybe that she won't qualify because of that stupid rule about being masked for a certain amount of time. Because that was the same reason why Pedro Pascal couldn't be nominated for his work in The Mandalorian, as amazing as it was. Moving on. So Bucky tries to talk her down and convince her not to go through with it. And, you know, showing true character growth. And this is why I was talking about static characters versus, what's the other one? Dynamic. There we go. Static versus dynamic. The characters in this show have been incredibly dynamic. What I mean by that is they've changed. Like, static is something, you know, they just stay the same one note character. These other dynamics show growth and change over a actual character arc. And these characters here have done that. I mean, first, when we first see Carly, she's like this almost like scared little girl that's trying to, like, even though it was an act, you know, but it was at the same time how we first saw her. And then it comes to what we see later in the end of this episode, which I'll get into later. Then you got Sam. I mean, Sam literally donated the shield thinking that no one should be Captain America. And now here he is proudly being Captain America, no matter who tells him he can't do it. Or you got Bucky, who literally was a loner having these nightmares and just drinking with the guy who he needs to give closure to, which will subsequently get him closure. And wants to punch his way out of everything. And now here he is talking someone down and trying to convince them, listen, don't go down my path. I mean, he was just literally, I got a vibranium arm. I can kick their asses. I don't care. And now he's trying to do the other option, peacefully do it more like Sam would. And that's another trait of Captain America. Captain America makes you want to be better. Like, that's how, at least in the MCU, how he's been portrayed as, he's this perfect, not super perfect soldier, but perfect, like, he's just the goodest of the good. And I know that's not even a word, but that's what I had to create that word or use that word to explain how good Captain America is. And he makes you want to be better. You want to live up to the standards that Captain America has. And Bucky sees that in Sam right now, and we'll get more to that later when we talk about their relationship. And then right then, Carly reveals that this is all a ruse, keeping him distracted, so that the trucks from the GRC members could get away. Lennox says, you know, hostages en route. Sharon says, seriously, Bucky, you had one job. But, you know, she saw all that happen. She could have stopped it herself. But she stayed on her one guy? Seems a little fishy. It seems like she has her own motives here and doesn't really care if those people get hurt. And she's playing with Bucky and Sam like she is. But then Sharon pulls out this device. You know, they focused on it a little bit longer than I thought they would. You know, when someone just pulls out a generic item, they don't, like, zoom in on it. You know what I mean? Like, they might show it, like, briefly, but they zoomed in on that. Shortly after, you know, she walks into Lennox and, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't see you there. Playing off the damsel in distress thing that she does really well. Shortly after that, he starts driving away and then abruptly crashes, and Sharon walks away with this, like, devilish smirk on her face. When we get a close look at Lennox, his skin is literally, like, melting away in this green smoke. And something about the way they framed it, and, like, when they made a point to show it, like, coming out of the window, I feel like that's important, and I feel it may come back at some point. More on that in the future as the story develops. Sharon tells him that she took out her guy, and you know, Cap is fighting Batroc still, and he asks how she did it, and she says mercury vapor, amongst other things. I don't know how I feel about that. That seems like a BS answer she just said, and no one questioned her because they're in the middle of doing other stuff. And then, you know, she just literally, like, walks out of the front door of this building that was literally just taken over and locked down. But she's on the run and no one stopped her as she walked out. No one's paying attention to the front door. Like, what if one of the hostages that just walk out the front door? Are they just going to miss him? I mean, are they gonna, like, how did that happen where she was able to walk out, look up in the sky, and talk to Cap for a few seconds and then just walk away without anyone saying anything? It's a little weird. Just going to say that. Just going to throw that out there. You know, Cap is still fighting Batroc, and then Sharon says the chopper's getting away, and he grunts like, Bucky! And Bucky, you know, he's on his bike trying to follow the trucks, and he goes, man, I don't fly, man, that's your thing. And I mean, he might be out of line, but he's not wrong. So Cap knows he needs to step up things and decides to go on the offense, throwing his shield up at Batroc twice. The first time it bounces back, and the second time Batroc kicks it. A chair in the air and blocks its path and just drops on the floor. Cap and Batroc trade blows with the shield on the ground next to him, and Cap's foot just hits it. And then he uses the shield, kicks it up, and hitting Batroc with like a hands-free shield uppercut, followed by a shield backhand and a thruster power shield rush, sending Batroc flying. Cap decides to get one last dig in, saying au revoir, and throwing the shield through the glass window and diving out after it. And I really like that transition. Like, he threw it out the window, and he flies out and he just snatches it out of the air and flies towards the helicopter to try to rescue everybody else. Cap, with his new thrusters, catches up to the helicopter quickly, and for a brief moment he flew up into the light of the NYPD helicopter and almost showed, it was almost like the cover of his first appearance as the new Captain America in All New Captain America number one. Even though it was really bad lighting, I still feel like that was a slight homage to it. Cap chases them all through the city. And I think it's the East River, based off the two bridges that I think are the Manhattan and the Brooklyn bridges. At least that's what I think they're supposed to be. But then later they said the Hudson. So honestly, I don't really know. And I'm kind of ashamed to admit that as someone who was born in New York. Granted, it's been many, many years since I lived there, which hurts my soul. But I don't know at this point, really, to be honest with you. Cap has Red Wing. He goes, Red Wing, find out if anyone has any flight experience. Now, I wonder if Red Wing is now, like, enhanced with Wakandan tech, or if it's still just based off the second-best tech on the planet with Stark tech. I guess we'll find out in future installments of the MCU. When Carly finds out that Lennox isn't responding and the others suggest that they get out of there, you know, instead she doubles down. And she basically goes on this rant about how it doesn't matter. I mean, we can die. If we don't even survive this, the movement will carry on without us. And we can just, worst case scenario, we can kill the hostages. We don't need to use them to bargain to stop the vote because they're going to do the vote anyways. Like, and then everyone kind of just looked at her like, what the hell's going on? Why is Carly acting like this? And then, you know, she says, one world, one people, one world. And they just are silent. She goes, one world, and like one people, like they're like, never mind. I don't want to piss off Carly right now. Then we go back to Diego, the flag smasher, who's piloting the helicopter, attempted to take out the NYPD chopper by doing like a near collision, and does like have a little collision there, but it wasn't too like structurally damaging. It was just kind of like a glance. And, of course, Cap, being Captain America, breaks off his pursuit of the bad guys and goes and saves the people in the NYPD chopper. It's really crazy because Red Wing, you know, cut the door off and sucked him out and grabbed him by itself and just pulled the guy out. I mean, this is a freaking little jet thing. Like, just absolutely being essential. Then, you know, of course, Cap grabs the pilot. They land safely on the bridge, and you got the helicopter still falling down. And he uses his wings and shield to kind of like deflect the falling helicopter. And it kind of just, he shrugged it off, really. Like, it did like a, almost like a skip off of it. And, you know, everyone, this is a bridge in New York. So, of course, there's people on there and they see this. And they see him, you know, pulls his wing, like, after he made, like, a dome, he folds his wings out, and everyone starts cheering, and he just flies up, because he's got more work to do. Carly and the Flag Smashers try to hijack the trucks, and before they can get away, here comes Bucky to do this crazy motorcycle-assisted solo fastball special, directly into one of the Flag Smashers. Bucky starts fighting one of them, and Carly, you know, growls in frustration and gets out the truck and says, we need a diversion. And she says, give him someone to save. And she suggests that they light it up. They set one of the trucks on fire. They literally ripped off the gas can from the motorcycle and create a spark with like a crowbar or something. It's like a piece of metal to create a spark. Whole truck goes up in flames. Bucky goes over there and tries to just rip off the door, and he can't due to that lock that Lennox put on there. And as this is happening, you can hear someone from far screaming, Morgenthau! Enter John Walker, dressed as Captain America, with his new home forged shield, and he says, let's finish this. Carly, you know, first tries to apologize for killing Lamar, saying she didn't mean to kill his friend. She didn't want to hurt people that don't matter. And of course, John takes offense to that, and he replies, what, you think Lamar's life didn't matter? And she basically tells him not to her fight. I mean, not saying that his life in general was forfeit, but to in her grand scheme of things, he doesn't matter. So he threw the shield at Carly, and she just, you know, just flat out kicks it away, and it bounces. And then when it hits the ground, it has this almost like cheap metal sound when it hits the ground. I'm guessing to have some more distinction between the Vibranium Shield and this Home Forge Shield. And of course, this leads out to an all-out brawl with John versus all the Flag Smashers. And, you know, they're just teeing off each other. When we cut back to Bucky, he's punching the lock with the same ferocity he did when he was in the cell trying to break out to stop Zemo from activating the Winter Soldier. Then, you know, after punching it for a while, he uses his strength and vibranium arm to rip the door off. You know, Walker's putting up, he puts up a valiant fight, gets some good shots in, but then they just overpower him. There's too many of them, and he just starts getting the crap kicked out of him, while he's on the ground. Then we get another really stunning, two shots actually, you know, first it's the close up of the fear in Walker's eyes as he's getting beat up, and then they focus real close on the Medal of Honors that he welded to the inside of that shield. It was almost like at that moment, that's all the character John Walker could see. And then we cut back to Bucky helping the GRC people out of the truck, and one of them actually thanks him for saving them, and someone finally was able to say thank you to Bucky. And he actually got to use the phrase "you're welcome" in a non-passive aggressive way. And then he's able to then run over and save Walker before they, you know, do any more damage. And he gets pushed off a ledge, down this like big, like, almost like a pit, like, some of their building, you know, and they had to go deep into the ground to build the foundation and stuff. Of course, Bucky gets his great superhero landing, while the Flag Smasher just jumps down and tries to, like, literally cave in his head with this, like, big sheetrock. Then we cut back to Cap maneuvering around the helicopter. He was able to use Red Wing to find someone one of the hostages that had flight experience. And then he was able to text her to put in her earbuds. And then, you know, he's talking to her and telling her that he's gonna do something that he needs to, you know, be really precise and just I hear you have flight experience. And then Diego used the rotors of the chopper to hit Cap to like these big like cylinder look like almost cylinder like frames for like a pillar of some kind, which led to him falling into the river. He just bursts out the water using his amazing new Wakandan thrusters, and says, "Boy, you just earned this ass whooping." And I can hear Steve from the moon right now saying, "Language." Cap orchestrates this precision move with Isla. The shield pops out of its holster on his back, and he catches it and does this like super flip throw move, which breaks the door. Comes back to him, and then before he does this tackle spear maneuver, getting Diego out of the helicopter, throwing him into the river, and Isla takes the controls and flies safely away, while Cap is giving her words of appreciation and letting her know she did a great job. We cut back to Walker fighting the Flag Smashers. It's really crazy because I saw this, like, there was this leak many months back when they were still filming. And where they were filming in Atlanta, it's in the city, and there's all these apartment buildings that look down. There was no way to like block the view completely, and still get the shots. And it's just nuts seeing that these clips and the subsequent photos that circled around the internet. We're all looking at this, trying to figure out what's going on. You know, we think it's just some random battle, not knowing that it's literally the end fight scene in the season finale, which is, it's kind of crazy. Like, because I have this thing on all my pages, 48-hour spoiler ban for any new show that comes out. I do everything in my power to not spoil anything for anyone, and I get a lot of flack for this online. People try to aggressively, you know, post on those spoiler warning pages, posts that I have with spoilers, and, you know, they just come at me aggressively, like, who cares? And I care. I mean, and me as someone who does this podcast and, you know, has multiple nerd pages on Instagram and, you know, is active in searching out leaks and searching out things, I'm not going to get spoiled, okay? Like, if I get spoiled, it's my own fault because I literally went looking for it, you know? So when I post those things asking people to give everyone the chance to watch the shows, give them at least 48 hours. That's not too much to ask. I mean, 48 hours, like, so my time, 48 hours would be from 3 a.m. Friday morning. I don't think that's too hard to ask. I mean, Sunday afternoon. You want to be courteous, wait till Monday just to be even safer. Like, I literally record my podcast usually and have it posted for first thing Sunday morning. Granted, it always has spoiler warnings. You know, if you click on it and didn't hear the warnings, that's on you. But people, like, I don't understand why they do this. Like, the episode debuts at 3 a.m. and by 4 a.m., there's spoilers all over Instagram. We're trying to be the first people to, like, have the new cool thing. And listen, I love being on the you know, the front end of, you know, a spoiler or something like that. And not necessarily a spoiler, but, like, a theory or, like, set photos or stuff like that, you know. Like, I'm real quick to, like, try to find stuff like that. And I just don't understand why people feel the need to post that stuff. But I'm getting off topic. Let me get back into the episode. Carly and Walker, you know, they go toe-to-toe for a second. They get a few nice shots in each. But her maneuverability, being smaller than John, able to maneuver in and out of the environment they were in, allowed her to escape. And then she, you know, gets in the driver's seat of the truck and takes off. And then we cut back to Bucky still fighting one of the Flag Smashers. And they're literally using, like, these, like, big slabs of sheetrock as, like, baseball bats. And then we see Carly trying, so she tries to drive the truck right off of that ledge that Bucky just fell down, you know, so to kill all the hostages in there. And, you know, Walker runs up on the scene, right? He looks at Carly, he looks at the truck, and he has this moment, like, this big life decision moment. And he, like, you know, he has that this realization. He shakes out the cobwebs and does the right thing. Like, his shield just falls to the ground. And he tries to pull the truck up back off the ledge by himself. And, you know, if it wasn't for the Carly and the Flag Smashers, he would have been able to do it. I mean, he was holding with one arm and, like, punching the people away, trying to push them off until they pulled him down into the pit with him. And before the truck can fall, of course, come to save the day, Captain America, he catches it, excuse me, and with the assist of Red Wing, which it looked like it split into two separate, like, thrusters and latched onto the truck and pushed up. And then, you know, when he finished pushing it up, all of New York is there cheering. And this older black gentleman with the gray hair says, "Hell yeah, that's Black Falcon." And the guy next to him who's filming is like, "Nah, man, that's Captain America." And, you know, like, and I wonder if that is that kid who called Sam Black Falcon in the earlier episodes. I wonder if he is his grandfather, because I think he's a little too old to be his dad. But I think that'd be really cool if somehow we can track down the answer to that to see if they're related, because that'd be funny. Maybe that's his son now standing next to him, and that was his father. Who knows? I think that'd be really cool if we find that out later on, but I digress again. And, you know, Carly throws, like, a rod at Bucky, like a spear, and he just catches it. And then seconds later, Cap decides to play pinball with the Flag Smashers, hitting them all with a shield, catching it, landing next to him. And, you know, and Carly just, like, she takes off her mask, just has this look of just straight up disgust and just appalled seeing Cap wearing the Stars and Stripes like that. And she just, she says, you of all people bought into their bullshit. Like, Cap responds with, "I'm trying something different. Maybe you should do the same," you know, and he's right. Like, what she's doing isn't working. She might have a good cause, but it's not working. And we'll see, there is a proper way to do that later. We'll get to that. Their little meeting is interrupted by Batroc he shoots some smoke grenades into the pit, letting Carly escape. And then Cap uses his new Wakandan tech and turns on his Predator vision, the Predator tracking system, to follow their footsteps and chase after him. Bucky says to Sharon their position with no response, and they split up. Walker with Bucky. Walker runs off. You know, Bucky says, "I got it," basically as his babysitter. And Cap ran off by himself. And I talked about this earlier. You know, they all have their headsets. Why didn't Sharon respond? But more on that in a second. After some great spy thriller jump cuts, like it was literally every character's point of view in different parts, and they're just walking. It looked like one fluid motion, as one, almost as if it was one character moving when it was literally the entire, most of the cast. Then we have a standoff between Sharon and Carly. It's revealed that Sharon took in Carly when she first came to Madripoor. She reminded her of a younger her. Not so sure that checks out, considering she was raised as Peggy frickin' Carter's niece, trying to be a secret agent. But moving on, Carly says she wanted to make the world better, while Sharon just wanted to hurt the world for what it had done to her. And you know, this is why I kept saying that Carly is not really a villain. She's on the same type of, let's say, villainous status as someone like Doctor Doom. Now, of course, the power level, I'm not comparing them at all, but in their methods. Doctor Doom is really Victor Von Doom, who is the king of his country, and he really just does what he thinks is right to protect his people. And his means very rarely justify the ends, but he's not really evil. He might be a villain per se, based because his desires don't really align with the worldview of what's right. But that doesn't necessarily mean that he's evil. And Sharon tries to convince Carly to come back and work for her, which is when, bum, 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 super reveal, Sharon is the power broker. Honestly, while it does make sense, especially since, you know, Sharon's running this super secret stolen art gallery, and then, like, I thought about this then, too. She didn't go in with them to meet Erskine. Now, why didn't she? Obviously, now we realize because she's quote-unquote the power broker. Now, honestly, I think it's just too on the nose. I think it's more, it's deeper than that, but more on that later. Batroc rolls up on this standoff and, you know, threatens to tell everyone who she is unless he gets four times what she was going to pay him. And Sharon, I mean, she don't do blackmail. She just straight up kills Batroc. And Carly almost, I feel like it was a reaction shot, shoots Sharon in the stomach. I feel like literally like she, like it was, a quick trigger reaction, to her firing. You know, the gunshot, you know, of course brings Cap to the scene. He tries to talk Carly down again, but she's feeling like he's trying to manipulate her based off of what happened last time when he was talking to her at that funeral. And Walker came in and messed it all up and the whole world was watching. Carly tries to shoot Sharon, but Captain America intervenes. Carly aggressively fights, attacking Cap. And once again, Cap fights in defensively, in this case, even refusing to fight her. Bucky and Walker use the Flag Smasher app to set this brilliant trap to get the Flag Smashers, and it works like a charm. Walker says, "Mercy bears richer fruit than strict justice," which, of course, is a famous Abraham Lincoln quote. And Bucky calls him out on it after they walked away. Walker says, "Great, great quote, great man." And Bucky hits him with the, "Not when you say it." So he stares at you in endless silence if he hates you. He jokes around with you and makes fun of you if he considers you a friend. And he truly smiles and hugs you and all of the above when he sees you as family. But more on that later. When we cut back to Cap and Carly, we get a scene very reminiscent of Bucky and Steve at the end of The Winter Soldier, where Bucky just keeps beating the crap out of Steve and he refuses to fight him. Granted, he didn't get beat to a pulp like Steve did, but he did get thrown around a lot. And she tells him to stay down. And of course, he responds, no. Now, I'm really glad, really, really glad that he didn't get up and say, I can do this all day. Because he's not Steve. But he is Captain America. But he's definitely different. And that's, in this case, is not a slight at Steve, just a good thing about Sam as Captain America. Carly aims her gun at Cap before she can pull the trigger. Sharon shoots her. And of course, Sharon being the fantastic shot that she is, it's a kill shot. Before she dies in Sam's arms, she looks at him up at him and says, I'm sorry. Cap pulls her out of there and carries her to the medics. When he flies in holding her, the shot has this very almost angelic look with his wings spread, carrying the body of a fallen warrior. The imagery created by that was just truly stunning. He is berated with questions from the media as he walks up to talk to the GRC GRC members. They ask, you know, what happened to the Flag Smashers? When did the government make you Captain America? What do we call you? Is it still Falcon or is it Captain Falcon? First of all, no, that is already a complete different character from a different universe entirely. And to answer the other questions, they got beat. One died. Whole bunch are captive. More on that later. Government didn't make him Captain America. He said, I'm Captain America, his damn self. Not Falcon, Captain America. moving on. Cap asks if they're still going to go forward with the Patch Act. And they say, yes, the peacekeeping troops are about to start relocating people. Cap tells them and then they kept using the word terrorist to describe Carly and the Flag Smashers. And Cap just straight up tells them, stop calling them terrorists. And then when they asked, like, what to call them, Cap brilliantly responds, your peacekeeping troops carrying weapons are forcing millions of people into settlements around the world, right? What do you think those people are going to call you? Sam, he just keeps asking questions that are just too hard to answer. And I've been saying that this whole time that this series is going to hit way too close to home for some people. And I feel like this episode in particular is definitely going to do it. Do that for a lot of people. And at this time of the episode, you can see that this is being broadcast live to millions, maybe even billions of people all across the world. Cap says these labels, terrorist, refugee, thug, they're often used to get around the question why. Now, also remember when Cap was in one of the camps and he talked to that man about Mama Danya, the guy said that they're not refugees. And of course, that thug reference is the obvious term used by much of right-wing media to describe any black person ever. And again, this episode, while set in the MCU, it's definitely like a reference to our time right now. But more on that as we continue with this awesome speech by the new Captain America. Cap is asked if he thinks it's fair to ask the governments of the world to support camps that are made after the snap. And he says yes. When Cap is pressured about what to do with the people who came back and now have people living in their family homes, he doesn't have an answer. Which honestly is fair. I mean, they don't have an answer. How do they expect him to have an answer? He was blipped out just like everybody, half the planet himself. So, I mean, he's only been back for, what, a couple weeks at this point? Give him a break, man. He's only human. And after being pressured about not having an idea and how complex and difficult the task is, he says, you know what? That's good because now we have a common struggle. He says, think about it. for once, all the people who've been begging you, and I mean literally begging for you to feel how hard it is on any given day, now you know. How did it feel to be helpless? Now, if you could remember what it was like to be helpless and face a force so powerful it could erase half the planet, you would know that you're about to have the exact same impact. This isn't about easy decisions, Senator. And the head of the GRC just says, you just don't understand. He goes, I'm a black man carrying the stars and stripes. What don't I understand? Every time I pick this thing up, I know there are millions of people who are going to hate me for it. And they cut to Walker listening. And, excuse me, he kind of like bows his head in shame because he is someone who feels that hatred towards him. Granted, not because he's black, but because he is clearly Captain America and he knows there's nothing he can do about that. Cap continues, even now, here, I feel it. The stares, the judgment, and there's nothing I can do to change it. And then we see the Bradleys watching intently at home. And yet, I'm still here. No serum, no blonde hair or blue eyes. And the emotion on Isaiah Bradley's like face, Carl Lumley literally stole every single second of his screen time. And I mean, wow. Like when he sat back in his chair, it like looked like this weight of the universe just lifted off his shoulders. And like, he could do nothing else but let out the faintest and rarest little smiles. The acting in both this show and WandaVision really have upped the bar for the MCU moving forward. It's amazing. Cap continues, the only power I have is that I believe we can do better. And we get another rare smile from someone like Bucky, who's standing there listening. We can't depend that people step up. We can't demand, that people step up if we don't meet them halfway. Look, you control the banks. Shit, you can move borders. You can knock down a forest with an email. We see Torres watching on, and he also smiles. You can feed a million people with a phone call, but the question is, who's in the room with you when you make those decisions? Is it the people you're going to impact? And his sister watching with bated breath. Or is it just more people like you? Now, while this council is definitely diverse because, you know, it's a world thing because of the MCU, the whole world is coping with the blip and then everyone coming back, the snap and then everyone coming back in the blip. But I think this is a almost like social commentary on the world as it is right now, with the whole world coming together for the most part during the pandemic, besides the United States for some odd reason. Oh, I remember. Moving on. But this is definitely a call to what the governments of the world are like right now. Because, like, granted, it's great to see that things are changing now, you know, in the U.S. government. But for the most part, it's just old white men making decisions for every single person in the United States. And that's not necessarily a good thing. Back to the episode. Cap says, this girl died trying to stop you. And nobody has even stopped for 1 second to ask why. He says that the center has to step up because you don't want to see the next Carly. He brings up that people believed in her cause so much they literally helped her move around the world without detection. I mean, she got to New York, which is, you know, one of the more secure places, like heavily policed and watched places. And she's seriously the most wanted person on the entire planet. And she was able to get wherever she wanted, whenever she wanted. And protected and this, that, and the other thing. I mean, like I said, she had all this intel in the GRC. How the hell did she get that? But here we go with Cap again saying all the truths that none of them are really ready to hear. Cap walks off and gives a nod to Walker, which he returns in kind. It's kind of like, yeah, I guess you're okay. Bucky jokes with Cap. He goes, "Oh yeah, I was texting. I missed everything besides black guy and stars and stripes." But you know, Bucky straight up says, "Good job, Cap." Smiling, giving him like a half bro hug and tapping the shield. And, the fact that he calls him Cap, and not like Captain America, he called him Cap. Like that was his thing to Steve, you know. They walk up on Sharon, who's still, you know, just bleeding out of her stomach from a gunshot wound. Sharon apologizes for how things went down the basement, you know, with Carly. And she says, for what it's worth, he does look good in the suit. He responds that he's going to keep his promise. Before he's summoned by Captain America, he again to go get the last flag smasher, the one that he dropped in the river. Again, like I said, they said the Hudson here, but I don't know how the bridges thing kind of messed me up. Cap flies off and we cut to the flag smashers being transported into trucks to be transported to the raft, as we hear. And, you know, when the guy closed the door, he leans in and says, "One world, one people." And, you know, they get a little smirk from the flag smashers in there. So you're like, "Oh, man, they're going to get away, aren't they?" And then out of nowhere, the transport just blows up. And we get another, like, real great, like, spy thriller shot of the butler with the side view mirror. It was the butler in the alley with a car bomb. Clue. Unfortunately, probably a lot of people don't even get that Clue reference, but that's okay. Moving on. We cut to the raft as Zemo is listening to the update of the explosion. He closes his book and lays down with a smile. Val gets the update. Sorry, because we cut to them now. She jokes about how she couldn't have planned it out better if she tried. She didn't. But did she? Maybe she did. We then get the next great comic book accurate costume, and Walker comes out in the blacked out uniform and she straight up calls him a U.S. agent. It was just beautiful. She tells Walker that the things are about to get weird and they won't need a Captain America for that. I think this is a reference to the upcoming Secret Wars. Honestly, who knows at this point, because the theory game is real rough these days. So who knows? He's getting all this feeling like he's back while being in what looks like the same exact room he was humiliated in with nobody around. And honestly, with all the lights off, using only natural light as if they weren't allowed to be in there in the first place, or hiding the fact that they were in there. He thinks he's back and she calls him U.S. agent. And he, you know, hears U.S. agent. He thinks, "Oh, yes, I'm not Captain America, but I'm still U.S. superhero." He's clearly being manipulated. And I feel bad for him. As I'm sure many people do now, because the way they judged him initially from the get-go, not even for his actions, but just for him having the audacity to want to be Captain America. But anyone who listens to my show, who's been saying this for a while? Oh, that's right. This guy. Just saying. Bucky goes and gives Yuri the closure he needs. And again, Sebastian Stan really just going for that Emmy when he tells Yuri that his son was murdered by the Winter Soldier, and his voice like cracked and he's like, and it was me. He literally broke, not broke character, but just broke that sadness, and almost has like this disgust for his own self just shown all over Sebastian Stan's face. It's just, oh man, the acting is just phenomenal. Then we see he gave the therapist the book of all the names crossed off, basically signaling that he is no longer ever going to be the Winter Soldier. He's no more Nightmare. He's good to go. But I have to admit, it's kind of messed up he gave away Steve's book. But, I mean, okay, whatever. I mean, it's fine. In the note, he thanked her for all the help she gave to him. And, you know, and I think that's part of it. Even when he was in therapy with her and wasn't really cooperating, I think he knew that that's why it wasn't working on subconscious level. Then you have Sam. He goes to Isaiah. And, you know, they have this weird bond now after that. And he admits that Sam is special, you know. not Malcolm, Martin, or Mandela special, but, you know, Sam agrees. Isaiah hits him with the black Captain America, huh? Sam replies, damn right. And if you watch that, like, that scene, he picked up that tree real effortlessly, kind of just signaling that he can still throw down if he had to. And, you know, basically Sam just tells him, like, all the sacrifices that our people have, and this is Sam talking, not me, obviously, that people before him have gone through, it would be almost a travesty not to fight for it now. And he's not going to let anyone tell him he can't do that. He tells him to go wash up, go clean up, because he has something to show him. So they go to the Captain America exhibit so he can show you the new edition, show him the new edition. When they walk in, Isaiah was just so taken aback. He literally stumbled and had to grab onto Elijah's shoulder as they walk in. And then, you know, he grabs his hand and he lifts it and just shakes it like so proudly. And as the statue comes into view, and I have to admit, when I do these breakdowns, I mean, I'm an hour and 5 minutes into a breakdown. Think about how long it took me to actually get the breakdown done. So I've had to watch this quite a few times. I cry every single time when I see that shake because it's just so beautiful. Like I know what that means. Like that look, like it couldn't even put it into words. It was just a hand gesture. And, you know, he walks up to Sam and Sam tells him, now they'll never forget what you did for this country. And he goes, never. With tears in his eyes, he gives this huge hug to Sam. And it's the fitting final shot of that scene was a close up to a dissolve of the statue to fade to black. And I want to take a moment real quick to talk about how amazing this version of Bucky is. I mean, he comes in with the shades on, you know, when they're looking at the party. And he's really Bucky again. You know, with the weight of the Winter Soldier no longer like weighing him down, like, excuse me, play fighting with the kids, pretending to smash, like joking like he's going to smash the cake on them, you know, having them do like pull-ups and hanging on his arm while he's telling a story or whatever with a big smile on his face. Like, this is the first time or first place since Wakanda, I think, where Bucky really feels like he belongs. He's like that one white friend that is permitted to roll up to any cookout at any question, anytime, no questions asked. And that was me for a big portion of my life. So I know that feeling well. And when you feel like you belong, there's nothing better. Like, when then you're accepted by people who aren't like you. Like, it really is. Like, when you can cross, like, racial barriers and be accepted by everyone, there's a really special feeling behind that. Like, I have great relationships with everyone, even though I'm very antisocial, really. But I have great respect for everyone. And I very much feel like Sam and Bucky are, like, the perfect representation of what, like, people should be and strive to, you know, like they're just two people living and working together and they don't like, they're not black and white. They're just brothers. You know, they're these two guys that are like really care about each other. Like, what does it matter what color you are? It doesn't. Like that's the best thing about this friendship is that it shows that like love and family and respect knows no color barrier. It's the people who disrespect and feel like there's a color barrier. That's where the problem lies, not the actual human relations aspect of it. And then, you know, we cut back to the episode. Everyone, you know, taking pictures with the new cap and having a great time. This is great. That great shot of Sam looking out at the bay, you know, with a great smile on his face, like accomplished, almost like Thanos looking out at the end of Infinity War. Then Bucky walks up, you know, he looks out, smiles, taps him on the shoulder, and they share this like great, you know, little moment, and they walk up together. And even all the way up to the very last frames, they had the great cinematography with this blur transition to fade to black. And it's just beautiful way to end the season. And then when fade to black, they reveal a title card that says Captain America and the Winter Soldier. And then there was, of course, a post-credit scene with Sharon getting a full pardon. And she did a really good job playing up the hurt damsel in distress type deal, even though she was definitely just playing it up. She then gets out of the courtroom and the briefing room, wherever they were, and calls someone up and says, "Get our buyers ready, because while the Super Soldier Serum might be off the menu, we're gonna have access to secrets, special tech, and everything. It's pretty much something for everyone." So I feel like the Power Broker might be like a Negan thing, where yes, Negan is just one person, but everyone who represents him is also Negan. I think that might be a similar thing here. And I just feel like she has a partner, and I feel like it's Thunderbolt Ross, and he's my Mephisto character of this series. Like, I thought he was going to show up this whole time, and he wasn't even mentioned, really. I don't even think he was mentioned, I think about it. And then, you know, that's the end of this great season, and probably not the end. It's definitely not the end of this story, but it might be the last season, because if they do Captain America 4, I don't see why what they would use the show for, to be honest. But this show was absolutely fantastic. And I said earlier, it was submitted as a drama for Emmy consideration. So I think it should definitely have a chance to, I hope it cleans house and wins everything. WandaVision was submitted as a limited series, so that's probably pretty much 100% done. And also the comments from the creator, like, really, like, the Wanda, the Hex or the Wandaverse is gone. She can't really go back to that reality, so that show can't really continue. And now, moving on to some news about connected characters here. To my knowledge, this has not yet been confirmed by Marvel or Disney or anyone like that. But it's being reported that Captain America 4 is in the early stages of development, with Malcolm Spellman, the creator and head writer for Falcon and the Winter Soldier, and Dallin Muson, I hope I said that right, another writer from the Falcon and the Winter Soldier, are going to co-write the movie. And right now, there is no director yet attached to it. So maybe this is something that the Russo brothers may think worthy of coming back, like many people think. I don't think so. I mean, unless they have this great idea, or like, unless the script blows them away. So I don't see that happening. So who knows who's going to direct it, and who knows when that's going to even be. I mean, they have slated out movies, I think, through like 2023. So like, Cap 4 would be earliest 2024. If I'm not mistaken, at the very earliest. So it's still a ways away, so we don't have to worry about that net just yet. But what we do have to worry about is now the wait for the next MCU content. And, you know, in years past, like, you know, 7 weeks, you know, that would be horrible. But we just went a whole year without content. We can wait 7 weeks. But from the time of this recording, that is, till the next installment, which is going to be, of course, Loki, which I, from the get-go, like, I was excited for WandaVision. I knew I was going to like Falcon and the Winter Soldier, but I've been really hyped about Loki, and I think it might be the best show of all three of them. I think it's going to be, like, a kind of, like, hybrid of the first two shows. It's going to be freaking weird, but it's going to have, like, the crazy magic, time travel, multiverse stuff like WandaVision had, but with the action of Falcon and the Winter Soldier. And it has another super talented cast, so I truly can't wait for that. But I will, because obviously we have to. But, yeah, I'm really looking forward to Loki and Tom Hiddleston coming back and being Loki. He's just so good. Oh, it's amazing. All right. So that's going to be it for this week. I'm going to be honest with you, I think I'm going to actually do a short secondary episode either today or tomorrow. No promises, but there was a lot of nerd news that I'd like to cover, like the new How I Met Your Father and a couple other really cool things. But I just don't have time. And to be honest with you, it's already an hour and 15 minutes, and I'm sure you're tired of hearing me talk. I'm tired of talking myself. So on that note, thank you again for taking the time to listen. And I know this is, when I say deep dive, this was a deep dive on the final episode of Falcon and the Winter Soldier. I appreciate you coming by and taking a listen. If you like what you heard, if you even made it to this part, do me a favor, like, subscribe, share, tell your friends, share it on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can find me online. The official podcast will always be Nerdtween Movie Podcast. If you're going on Instagram looking for it, it's going to be Nerdtween Movie Podcast with underscores in between every word. Searching it on Google Music, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, just type in Nerdtween and a movie podcast. By the time you hit the T on Nerdtween, it should show up. Find me at Nerdpool Reborn on Instagram. Six seasons and a Netflix movie, also on Instagram. And again, thank you very much for listening. Until next time, this is Nerdpool Prime signing off.